Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Before we do that, real quick, we were just talking about what your take all my money expenditure would be, mm-hmm. a la Mark Cuban putting even more money into his alma mater, Indiana's football team. And somebody said, a Houston Texans Super Bowl. And I can only, can you imagine what the Houston Texans winning a Super Bowl would be financially in the city of Houston?
Well, just everything associated with it.
Something's not associated with
it. Yeah, something's not.
Because in my mind, I started going to, what are the things that I think people would buy that aren't like the Texans team store and just getting the gear or things like that. Mm-hmm. And weirdly, and maybe this is just because I know they, in Jacksonville, they got Trevor Lawrence one, but then also we were talking about one for Tatio Imai.
Yeah. Oh, a grill.
I'd get a grill just to do it, just off of the being ecstatic in the moment. Mm-hmm. Are there any other things that you think would just like, not even like tangential?
You know what? You make a really good point. I think the whole H-Town thing would be even more so.
I think we go crazy with it in the city.
There are people buying slabs. And
yeah. I think we'd go crazy with it. Yeah. When was the last time? I mean, baseball-wise, obviously.
It's your identity, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think if they win a Super Bowl, and I know players all got grills and all that stuff, but I think the coaching staff should get grills. Coaching staff, Nick Caserio should get a grill. I think we should really focus on them.
Hey,
I mean, you see the diamond swarm up here on this banner. I feel like that's
it's easy to say players get a grill or, hey, white guy, get a grill. No, we should give the grill to the coaching staff.
Hey, what would the tattoo industry in this city be?
Oh, that would be big.
They're going to clean up.
Can you
imagine? I don't have any tattoos. What is like a bicep Texans 2026 Super Bowl champs? What would that cost?
I don't know. Text line 713-572-4610. I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
But just imagine, like, just the tattoo industry.
Yeah. Without question. Like, you know, do you remember when we did a show? I think it was I can't remember where it was, but we did a road show, and there was a gentleman with a Jeep that had the Love You Blue rap on it. Can you imagine how many of those we end up with?
Redoing their cars.
Yeah.
Right. Everything. The H-Town stuff, just the affiliated industries, or even not that closely affiliated, it would be incredible.
Yeah. So I love the thought. It starts with the Texans getting a win on Monday and then taking it on from there. Some other things. Let's go around the NFL. We mentioned this to start the show, but it's worth mentioning in this segment. The breaking news on the day is that the Miami Dolphins, after seeming like they were going to stand pat with Mike McDaniel, I have to make sure I say the right one because the Mike Mix are killing me in the league. Yeah. Mike McDaniel has been relieved of his duties there in Miami. And some might, I think the reporting was that, you know, Stephen Ross, after the season, met with Mike McDaniel and then took some time to ruminate and ultimately decided to move on. I think we tend to agree that it's probably more of, he saw that there was a particular big fish out there in John Harbaugh and decided, yeah, let's go for that as opposed to sticking with somebody that we're trying to give a secondary chance.
Yeah, I think the entire dynamic has changed of the coaching cycle with Harbaugh and some of these others, you know, that are out there. Let me ask you that. You said something earlier that I kind of just nodded my head, but now I'm starting to wonder. You said that Mike McDaniel kind of has to let the block cool a little bit.
I think it could be.
Sit out a year. I don't know. I think he's so well respected as a play caller. One of these new hires, when you talk about 25% of the jobs out there and a lot of defensive minded coaches, you know, out there, they want that proven guy, not as a head coach, but as a coordinator.
Oh yeah, when I said sit out, I meant for a head coaching job.
Yeah, okay.
Offensive coordinator, he could jump right back in, but that's more on if he wants to.
If he wants to.
It's clear that he wants to be a head coach, and I think that if that ends up being his goal, if that's his aim. He might need to take a little time away, especially, and it's largely because I know schematically that he still got something. We were actually talking about this in a break earlier, Fig and John. We were talking about the fact that sometimes in the NFL or any sport, or I think more football, you have a coach that has found a element that's ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. I think of Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was one of those dudes at Oregon who was like doing a lot of the, you know, the sports science of making sure dudes got rest, GPS tracking, things of that nature.
Yeah.
When the rest of the league, when the rest of the sport caught up to him, you were looking and you were asking, where's the next development? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that came for him. And so he fell to the pack in some ways. Mike McDaniel early on has had some schematic advantages, and when people have caught on to those, which we've seen with Tua Tagovailoa, mm-hmm. he's found other ways to innovate. So it gives me a level of belief that he has that portion of it. The problem is, he just don't know how to talk to people sometimes, at least when it's presented to the public. I think that he probably does a decent job with his players. I'm not certain, but the public portion of this, that still matters when you're the head man on a team, and I don't know how the remainder of the league looks at him in that regard.
You have to project. You have to project a certain image and persona, and what he projects is not that. It is not what you want. A lot of people want, I should say. In a head coach. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so he's out there. He creates another offensive-minded guy, though, in what feels like a less than stellar, or maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but a lesser pool of offensive coaching candidates mm-hmm. in this particular cycle where it feels like it could be dominated by defensive guys. We'll see what that looks like. Speaking of offensive guys, maybe on the secondary level of this, did you see that the Bucks have fired Josh Grizzard.
Just came down.
The offensive coordinator that took over this year at the helm of the Buccaneers. And so for yet another year, I think it's the fourth or fifth straight year, they will have a new offensive coordinator. And that's actually funny because we were talking about the possibility mm-hmm. or like the idea of hypothetically Nick Caley, do you, don't you move on from him? Should something happen?
Yeah.
And of course, again, all hypothetical. How does looking over at the Bucks impact your thought there? Because you've seen them have a lot of turnover, not willingly, with, you know, Canales going and getting a job, Liam Cohen getting a job.
Yeah.
But they, for a number of times, maybe not as much this time around, were able to continue success and find more success year over year, even as they were switching coordinators.
Yeah, to me, it's slightly different because of what you said. These guys are getting head coaching jobs, and that's just the nature of being good. It's going to happen here. It has happened here. I think what they're looking for, they have a slightly different situation because they have a quarterback, but they don't necessarily have a long-term young quarterback, you know, and that's going to be the fit that they have to look for eventually.
Sure.
Know? Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. Boy, the Chiefs do it again.
Yeah,
and it's a very different way of doing it again than I think we would imagine. We're talking off the field here, obviously, because they're not playing playoff football. Yes, I said that very intentionally. But the Chiefs have had a rash in the last handful of years, actually more than handful, mm-hmm. of off-the-field issues, particularly as it relates to domestic violence. And this one pops up again with a dude who's becoming a little bit of a trouble child, Rashee Rice, a partner or had gotten on social media, Instagram to be particular, and alleged that she had broken up with Rashee Rice a couple months ago, and she has two children with him, and alleged a level of violence had been done onto her by him with some photos.
Yeah.
The Chiefs put out a statement saying, quote, "The club is aware of the allegations on social media and is in communication with the National Football League. We have no further comment at this time," close quote.
What really stands out to me is, number one, you just talked about it. It's the Chiefs again. You know, it's the Chiefs again. You know, where is there a disconnect in messaging and the type of culture or whatever it is you want to talk? We don't know any of this is true. I'm just saying there is another allegation. There is another allegation. It's the Chiefs. And secondly, and I think more importantly, it's Rashee Rice again. You know, it's Rashee Rice again.
The thing is, it's easier to look past it when you go into the Super Bowl and winning championships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you ain't doing that, mm-hmm. that's when the organization really looks bad.
I mean, there was the Dallas thing, right?
Yeah, he was racing fast cars in Dallas, ultimately caused a crash there. That's one of the things that mm-hmm. he did as well. There's like 3 degrees that happen in my mind here. Mm-hmm. One of them is what you're talking about. Rashee Rice is a load-bearing figure particularly because what has been one of the issues that this Chiefs team has had, even as they've been winning the last few years, was the wide receiving core hasn't been there. Mm-hmm. And you got to supply Patrick Mahomes, what probably the greatest player in the NFL at this moment, with somebody to throw the football to. Yeah. And he has existed as the best option when you talk about talent and youth combined. And this is another thing when it comes to the issues here. But is it weird that I don't think that this ends up being as much of the downfall of the Chiefs as they're trying to maintain a dynasty than this other thing that's happening with the Chiefs? Mm-hmm. Apparently, Andy Reid has fired their wide receiver coach, which does not sound like a big deal. Mm-hmm. But do you remember one of the questions I asked you a few weeks back when it came to Andy Reid, which was, is it possible that he's losing his fastball? Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, there's been thought that Andy Reid, he's established, he's not going to change his staff. And maybe I'm reaching. You could tell me that. Is him going into some of his assistants, firing those, a recognition of some of the things that we have is not working and we need to modernize or change a little bit in order to try and keep this thing going because the league is kind of changing? Did you realize there's only one Andy Reid disciple that's still out here?
I did not.
The Andy Reid tree is actually kind of falling apart in some ways.
Well,
Nagy's going to get a job.
It is, but then that leads to the discussion of how much do they really do anyway. You know, you can go back to, it's always been Andy Reid. It's always his way. To answer your question, I don't think Andy Reid is necessarily losing his fastball. As recently as this year, we've seen him do some pretty incredible things with a shorthanded offense.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's the case. But I do think what you said is like what we have is not working, and just end it at that. I think this is just a head coach and offensive minded. Not what we have is not working, and maybe I'm losing my fastball or they're catching up to me. No, I think what we have is not working,
and we've got to make an adjustment. Yeah,
we got to make a change.
Well, yeah. I put that in the context of this. Yeah. I'm sure it sounds like how did Reggie get here from Rashee Rice having a domestic violence allegation levied against him on social media. There's a lot of different things that the CEO head coach has to try and pull together.
Yes.
And then he's also a play caller, and he's had a number of these things. Mm-hmm. And they've managed to traverse these, to be fair, right? Even Andy Reid's son with the, drinking and driving and unfortunate death of a girl in that instance, right? The number of times that you've had players with allegations, things of that nature. They've managed to pull all those things together. But now you're also adding the on-field product having a little bit of a downturn. This could be part of what we see, and maybe I'm stretching, but this could be a part of what we're seeing as the end of the Chiefs being that dominant factor in the NFL on top of
it. I think there's a lot of factors that are leading to that, but the good news is they still have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. All right, some other things around the NFL. We talked about, and I should have mentioned this yesterday, we talked about some of the the former players that are in the executive space. One of those being that got this conversation started in recently, Matt Ryan. CBS sports analyst, or actually I think he's on one of the studio shows. He seems to be the leader in the clubhouse to take over the Atlanta Falcons' I think it's newly primed president of football operations role. At first it sounded like he would have looked to do that job and the CBS job simultaneously, concurrently. It seems like that has shifted as reporting yesterday, or maybe even the day before, seemed to intimate that he's getting closer to having that job, and if and when he takes that job, he will solely focus on that, move away from CBS. Mm-hmm. So that becomes less of an issue. Mike Florio, you can simmer down. How do you like the possibility of Fox's Greg Olsen possibly doing that? He was on a podcast, and he was asked about the viability of this, and he said that he believes that he could do this, be an executive in this job. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I mentioned this a little bit yesterday. I don't mind these former players that are more recently, involved in the NFL on a day-to-day basis. I really don't mind these guys as almost like consultants, like Troy Aikman. You know, I know there's a conflict. It looks like a conflict of interest. If you're going to help hire the general manager, was it Miami? Wherever it was that they reached out to Troy Aikman. I don't mind you doing that. I think you can still do your job if you're not on their payroll, like Tom Brady. If you're not an owner or you're not, on their payroll, I think it matters. I think Greg Olsen, as a, quote, consultant, I guess, for lack of a better way. Now, I don't know if he's going to go full-time over there or not. If he does, then there would be a problem. But I do like the concept of having these. I mean, they are so plugged into the NFL, more so than some general managers are, because they know the players, they know the coaches, they know everything, and they hear the buzz at every level.
The quote specifically on the Schrager Hour, Peter Schrager's podcast, there's no question in my mind that I could do it. my perspective on all of this, I don't necessarily think the playing career and ability to do the job necessarily go hand in hand. There are so many elements right now that go into managing and running an NFL front office or locker room or team.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind that I could do it, and I think I could do it well, close quote. I do appreciate that there's a there's an awareness for him that he's not just walking in here because I played the game. I can do this.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a good point that the analysts, at least the ones that do it really well, because I think that it's fair to acknowledge as well, there's different levels of buy-in, put-in, work ethic in this analyst space as there is in any job.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that do it really well have an understanding of, you know, what good players look like, what good management looks like. They have communication amongst folks in the league.
The communication
and
part to me is huge.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because if you're not tapped in those ways, I don't think that you have a good idea of how to jump in.
They know what's really going on from the locker room to the coaching rooms to the front office.
Could this be a trend that we see continue
it
on?
It is. I mean, it is a trend.
Well, does two make a trend?
Well, it's four.
How do you figure?
But Brady's already there.
Yes.
Then you have Matt Ryan.
That one's pending, but yes.
Then you have Greg Olson.
I think Greg Olson is just commenting on it. I don't know if he's doing it.
At least in search of. And then you have Troy Aikman.
I don't know that Troy Aikman would actually step into the avenue of doing it.
But he's consulting, the hiring of a general manager.
All right. I felt like the
consultant part been around for a minute. Remember, that kind of happened here. Remember, they was talking to Tony Dungy.
It was Dungy.
Yeah.
I want to say there was another one, too, way back in the day. I'm trying. Oh, it was Dan Reeves.
Oh, okay.
Way back in the day, Dan Reeves came in and consulted with Bob McNair.
It do seem like this stuff is more popular now, though, because I think I seen something with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like head coaching.
Well, he's interested anyway. Thing. He said that he's interested in coaching.
Yeah, but that wasn't a thing a few years ago.
I think it is a trend. And frankly, like I said, I don't mind it.
Did we just start a new thing? From the 832, J.J. Watt for Texans Player Personnel Director.
Let's go.
All right. Okay. All right, well, at least we done stopped trying to make him keep playing football.
Yeah. Remember, we thought it was crazy when it was it Josh McCown?
Yeah. But the Josh McCown thing wasn't that he couldn't do any of the jobs. It's that they was trying to make him,
a head coach.
Yeah. But it's not a crazy eye roll right now. It's just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Phillip Rivers, possible head coach candidate.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's people still eye rolling that to some degree.
Not like it was with Josh McCown. It was filling up segments.
Yeah,
was arguing over that.
From the 281, would Stephen A. Smith be a good consultant option for the NBA?
Just ask him.
No.
No, but ask him and he'll say yes.
Oh, he will say yes.
For the Knicks.
I would personally say no, but I guess reasonable minds could disagree in that moment. But there you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. We appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. Coming up next, the Rockets just barely come an overturned tip-in game winner away from winning in Portland. We could talk about that, but also, do we need to have a Jabari Smith Jr. conversation? Let's next.